You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I love the Raiders. Most of all, I love to win.
You're now listening to State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Deshaun Reed on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, Deshaun Reed, getting you set for the 7-5 Raiders taking on the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday in Vegas. A big game for playoff implications. And Vic, you have some news that you reported on Wednesday that it sounds like the Raiders are going to be a little bit closer to full strength.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, that they expect Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram, and Trent Brown all to play on Sunday. David Arnett's not totally been ruled out. He's on the concussion protocol, but I think there's a little shot he also plays. So that'd be huge. I thought on Monday that they need at least two of those four guys to play to have a chance to win, I thought. And now if they have three or four back, definitely it's a big lift.
And Trent Brown is going to be that much more important this week just because the rise of Brandon Parker came to a screeching halt last week and Sam Young took his place. And this week they're going against a Colts front four that, you know, it's probably a top three front four in the league. So, you know, if they want to release four or five wide and not give help to the tackles, they're going to need Brown to play.
Brown can kind of break this short-term funk the offensive line has fallen into the last couple weeks. They had a not-so-great performances against the Falcons and the Jets. So, obviously, he's a huge upgrade, even if he's not 100% still over Young or Parker. And, obviously, if Jacobs is back along with that, then the run game will get a major boost. That's kind of been slow for them and putting a lot of pressure on the pass game the last few weeks.
I can tell what Derek Carr said, that Trent Brown's the best in the world at what he does. So that's a pretty nice compliment. And definitely, if you get a guy back who's the best in the world at something, that's a good thing.
So he practiced on Wednesday. That's really his first time, you know, getting back out there and practicing in a while. Obviously, I mean, we know it's been a frustrating season for him, and Raider fans have been frustrated, but by not seeing him, you know, he's the highest paid player on the roster for this season. He's making more this year than Derek Carr is. But I mean, Derek's not wrong. I mean, in terms of that assessment, I don't think. I mean, when he's healthy and available, I mean, we saw how he impacted that offense last year. I mean, he basically just allows you to really not worry about that side of the field in terms of pass rush.
Yeah, even against Kansas City, he wasn't totally healthy. Like, he couldn't even bend down. It just looked kind of funny. He was just, like, standing around, and he was still dominating. Nobody could get around him. If he's healthy, yeah, it just makes a world of difference not having to put a tight end or running back to the right side and chip every single time.
I mentioned Carr in the Zoom today. He had, at one point, he had his hands close together saying, "This is your pocket." And then when you have Trent Brown, he put his arms way out wide. "This is your pocket." So definitely he sees that making a lot more room, both in the passing game and the running game with Trent back.
Were Brandon Parker or Sam Young watching that Zoom call? Did they give any side eye?
I doubt it. I think they know. I mean, they know they're not sure. I mean, Brandon Parker, I know that's Ted's guy, living and dying with him all year long. But I think Brandon Parker knows where he stands as far as the ratings of right tackles go.
I mean, in terms of getting Jacobs back, I mean, I know it was initially a little bit of a surprise that he even had to miss the Jets game just because of how tough of a guy he is, that he doesn't like to miss games. So getting him back, getting that ankle hopefully closer to full strength. We've seen, even when he was in there, the last couple games that he played, the running game has been struggling a little bit, and they didn't move the ball that much on the ground with Devontae Booker starting against the Jets. So to get John Gruden, I think, fully going in his play calling, he needs that effective ground game.
The Colts, they have a pretty good run defense, but as far as DVOA, they're 11th in rushing DVOA, and the Jets are actually high up there. I think they're like top five in running DVOA, so they might actually get a little bit of a break as far as seeing, you know, a bit of an easier run defense than they have in the last couple weeks with Atlanta, how much they've improved defensively. One area that they really have to attack this Colts defense is in is they have to be able to beat their corners. And, you know, last week, Carr and Aguilar's connection was off. But this week, they can have some opportunities deep because the Colts have a very good defense. But those corners are good zone corners. But if they have to cover deep and you can buy some time and attack them deep, they're vulnerable there.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see with the Colts playing a lot more zone. I think the Jets were primarily playing man and blitzing a lot. And that's kind of what led Darren Waller to have had the big game that he did against the Jets. Not to say that he didn't beat zone coverage as well, because he did. But I wonder if with the Colts going to zone more, if they target him as often. But I suppose having Jacobs back, that they probably won't need to. They're able to find success on the ground. I don't think the Jets have a better, I know the DVOA says, but I mean, the Colts are only, I think they're fourth in rushing yards allowed per attempt this season. So I think it'll be more difficult for them to run this week, but that might be balanced out by the fact that they have or expected to get Jacobs and Brown back.
You know, the way they were able to win that game on Sunday, I mean, we know if they had lost that this week would look and feel a whole lot different. I mean, Vic, what do you sense just kind of was there mostly their reaction kind of in the aftermath? Was there relief? Was there a sense that they can kind of springboard now that they were able to survive? How do you think they kind of responded to that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there definitely obviously was relief. And Derek went on Twitter, I mean, not Twitter, on YouTube that day and tried to talk to the fans about how he feels. Some of them didn't appreciate the win as much as they should have. And, you know, wins are tough to get in the NFL no matter who you play. But I think they also got to be realistic. And there are a lot of things in that game that are pretty ugly. So, I mean, if you really are a playoff team, a lot of things need to get fixed right away. The run defense was horrible. I think, you know, and offense had some trouble early on also. So I just think that I'm sure there's relief, but it has to be a commitment to get better right away, because they must realize that that product's not even close to being good enough to get to where they want to get to this year.
All right, so they're taking on the Colts this week, and it's an old friend, Philip Rivers. They know him. They've played against him so much. I mean, Ted, when you watch Rivers this year with the Colts, I mean, is he the same guy? Have you noticed any changes in his game since he went to Indy?
No, I think he's getting better protection than he did with the Chargers, for sure. And if you remember the two games that Rivers played against the Raiders last season when he's with the Chargers, they got a ton of pressure on him and some sacks. So I think with the Colts, he has better protection, but you still see that, you know, that arm and his ability to throw deep is just not what it used to be. He's going to attack horizontally and short. You know, he has so much experience and he knows exactly what defense you're going to be in, and he knows how to counter and call, get into the right plays. Those are his strengths. The Colts don't have an explosive offense, but they have a fundamentally sound defense and they're going to be able to move the ball. And Rivers is just, you know, kind of like point guarding that offense. He's not doing anything amazing, but he's getting the ball to the playmakers.
One thing I noticed last week was that T.Y. Hilton had a big game. He's had a rough year with injuries and kind of struggled, and all of a sudden if he's back healthy, that's a huge boost for that offense. And they already have Michael Pittman, who I like a lot. The rookie receiver is definitely a nice possession type guy. But if Hilton's back to where he was in years past, all of a sudden that offense has gotten a lot better recently.
And the Colts haven't had as much rushing success as I thought they would coming into this season. But in terms of pass protection, they've been up there with the best teams in the league. And so even though Rivers doesn't have, you know, that arm strength and the ability to push the ball deep down the field, I mean, if he has all day to throw, I mean, this defense has shown throughout the entire season that it can get picked apart on those short and intermediate routes as well. I mean, the Jets had some success doing that with Sam Darnold and the weapons that they have. So obviously he's well past his prime, but I still think he's somebody that can hurt the Raiders given how they played on defense this season, and with them having the potential to be without, you know, guys like Arnett or some other players who are up in the air health-wise.
I was going to add that if the Colts commit to the run, and there could be trouble for them. We mentioned last week how the Jets, you know, totally abused them that way. But also this week, I mean, it's not a huge move, but you know, the Raiders put Daniel Ross on waivers, and they lost him to the Jags, claimed him. Again, not a marquee player by any means, but they don't have a lot going on at tackle right now. They got Hankins, and Mo Hurst is kind of playing at 50%. Malik Collins was put in IR, that was 2 weeks ago. So all of a sudden, you only got Kendall Vickers is starting now D-tackle. So you got Vickers and you got Hankins, and you kind of move other guys over. But it's not a lot of beef inside if the Colts really want to try and establish their running game up the middle.
They got to watch out for Nyan Himes in the pass game. He's been really good as a receiver out of the backfield too. So, you know, Littleton hasn't been great, but the Colts offense are going to try to match up Hines and Littleton in the pass game, and they're going to have to find a way to shut him down because he's been electric in the pass game in the last few weeks.
You look over at the Colts defense and, you know, some familiar faces, Justin Houston, obviously the former Chiefs defensive end, he's there. He's got 7.5 sacks. He had 11 for the Colts last year. So he's shown since he left Kansas City and went to Indy that he still has some juice left. And Denico Autry, 6 sacks on the season for the Colts. I mean, his post-Raiders career has really turned into a pretty darn good player for the Colts.
He was good when he was on the Raiders. I always thought he was underrated, but he's definitely made the most of his chances there. And they also saw TJ Carey's on that team, right? I think he's playing a little more now than the other day. So they had a lot of old familiar faces.
Yeah, and DeForest Buckner, man, he's a monster. Like, you know, I always thought he was kind of underrated as a Niner, but, you know, just going back and watching some of the film from this season, he's just a dominating force inside. So that's going to be a great matchup to watch, too, because, you know, the Raiders have one of the better interior lines in the league with Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Denzel Good, and just that's going to be a huge matchup to watch for. If, you know, we know Carr isn't the greatest when there's pressure up the middle. So, you know, the interior is going to have to earn their money and try to shut down Buckner.
Yeah, and Quinn Williams had a good amount of success last week for the Jets, creating pressure and stopping the run game up the middle. So obviously Buckner's a, you know, much better player at this point in his career. So they could have some issues there, even though that's been an area where they've typically been good this season.
Speaking of familiar faces, the Raiders welcome back another familiar face. Daryl Worley is back.
Yeah, people on Twitter yesterday were mad about that. Like, oh, that's horrible. But, I mean, have they looked at the depth of this team? I mean they're not saying he's going to come in and start. I think he knows the system. I mean, he made a few plays in his couple of years here. I think he's not that bad. So, I mean, he had a rough year this year at the Cowboys. But he knows the system. He'll come in. He won't play this weekend, but he should be ready to go next Thursday against the Chargers. And again, yeah, I mean, what we've seen of so far of Keyshawn Nixon and Amik Robertson is they're not quite ready, I think, to have a large role on defense right now. So I think Daryl Worley gives you, you know, a little insurance case against playing those guys too much.
I didn't get the negative reaction. Like, I get he wasn't, you know, the best player in his time with the Raiders, but, I mean, the secondary has been really bad this season. And, you know, outside of playing poorly, you know, a lot of guys are beat up right now. They have a ton of injuries, so you need some kind of help. So, you know, we're not saying he's going to, you know, flip their fortunes or anything like that, but, you know, I think he can be a positive addition at least.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, who else you gonna get, you know? Just having somebody that knows the system and can get you a body there and add some depth, it's a good thing. I mean, they're not expecting Daryl Worley to come in and all of a sudden change his defense, but yeah, just at this point in the season with the injuries, you just need somebody that could know the system and not blow assignments mentally. You know, maybe they'll get physically beat, but you can live with that.
Just looking at today's injury report, so we mentioned Arnett was out with the concussion today, and then Isaiah Johnson limited with a groin injury, Nevin Lawson limited with an ankle and knee injury, so the guys they have are kind of banged up.
You know, and Vic, I know you mentioned they're not ruling out Arnett at this point for playing on Sunday, but I mean, when you look at back-to-back weeks going through the concussion protocol, there's got to be concern there because we know, I think all the research tells us that when you kind of back up and sustain multiple concussions in a row, it can be scary. When you look at the way these have happened, both kind of on tackle attempts, I mean, I know the first one in Atlanta was kind of friendly fire. This was one where, you know, lowering the head and him and Gore collided heads. I mean, is there any concern that he's going to have to maybe adjust the way that he, you know, he's an aggressive player, and I'm sure the Raiders like that about him, that he's not afraid to stick his head in there and try to make tackles, but this is obviously something they don't want to see.
Yeah, I'm not sure they had those talks yet. I think they like his style of play. I think it was Jim O'Neill, they made a Jack Tatum comparison at some point. They want these old school kind of guys who can definitely be aggressive and lay some hits down. So I'm not sure they're going to tell him to change his style quite yet, but definitely I think two in a row, you definitely have to raise your eyebrows and say, okay, this can't be a pattern that keeps going on because you're going to cut your career short. So I think John Gruden was pretty optimistic about him on Monday, said he thinks he's okay and was in pretty good shape. Wasn't even sure on Monday if he was going to be in the concussion protocol, but he is. But I think they'll be okay with him going forward. And at this point, not be too much worried about his, you know, his habit of getting his head on these hits.
I do think he needs to stop dipping his head, though. You know, no, It's good to be physical, but like, don't lead with your helmet, man. And maybe part of that is the fact that his hand is in the cast, or one of his hands is in the cast, and so he can't use them as well to tackle. So like, I guess the head is the next best thing, but they need him out there with how bad the secondary has been playing so far this season. And he really hasn't been available for a lot of the season, between having his broken hand and then injuring it, and now having these concussions back-to-back weeks. They're obviously entering a crucial juncture here, so they don't need him, you know, essentially taking himself out.
I will say, I think he's flashed. I think when he has played, I can see why they like him. I think definitely of all the draft picks they have this year, he's definitely the one that I think has shown he's a real deal.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, well, let's take some questions here before we make our predictions. We'll start with this one from 160. He says, Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio has said that the run defense woes are because of scheme, asking quarterbacks to contain the edge. He says, Lincoln specifically said in the Jets game, Joyner was asked to take on guards. What do you guys think? And is Gunther gone after the season? Yeah, LaMarcus Joyner taking on guards in the run game, apparently.
That's
a good matchup. That's a good matchup, I think, right?
I can't imagine that's true. He's having a hard enough time with receivers. I mean, they're going to put him on guards now? I mean, I just, I don't know. I mean, obviously the run defense was horrible. And I think you blame both, you know, the scheme and the players. But, I mean, guys are getting pushed back. I mean, I'm not sure you can put that all on Paul Gunther when guys are getting pushed back 5 yards. So I'll have to ask about the LaMarcus Joyner thing on guards. I'm pretty sure the response I'll get, but I'll definitely ask.
I was going to say, I think the other issue is the key to the defense three technique has not been good in the middle of the season. It's probably, you know, something tells me that probably plays a factor. And Littleton missing, you know, almost a quarter of his tackles when he plays.
I mean, their philosophy is to kind of clog things up the middle and have running backs bounce out to the secondary and have them contained that way. But, you know, if you're not really stringing plays out and you're getting dominated and running backs get north and south quickly, or you could get a pulling guard outside where a Joyner might have to take him out, you know, bad things happen. You know, I don't think the scheme is terrible because a lot of teams do this, but they're more stout up the middle and they could have running backs, you know, kind of run more horizontally. So I don't think the scheme is the problem as far as the run defense. I just think that, yeah, they're just not playing well. And Mo Hurst did not look very, I don't think he's 100%. I think the front just has to be more physical. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to accomplish that.
Yeah, I think someone told me Mo's at 50% is what I heard. And I think you watched the game last week. And to me, I mentioned, I think on the podcast on Sunday, the safeties to me were really bad last week. I think definitely getting Abram back will see a lot better work in the run fits with him back this week.
All right, next question from Jeffrey Matthews. How has Corey Littleton's role changed over the last two games with Morrow getting more playing time? Despite his contract, any risk the Raiders cut him if he doesn't improve? Looking at that contract, I don't think a cut is really possible. It looks like dead cap, dead money would be like $19 million next year if they cut him. But I don't think that, yeah, I think they're going to have to kind of figure out a role for him, right?
Yeah, I think the two deals they can't really get rid of are his and Nassib, so the guy on the bench last week. And those guys are back next year no matter what because there's too much dead cap money. But I think with Littleton, I think maybe just make him, you know, a zone linebacker. Just the guy comes in on pass plays, but he's clearly not working as a guy who can play much more than that. And Morrow definitely has earned more snaps so far.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, Morrow has been kind of taking his place when they go to their 4-2-5. Nickel package, which they use pretty often. They use it more than their 4-3 base. I think part of that might be, I mean, we do have to keep in mind Littleton did have the virus and he's been working back with his conditioning. So I don't know if, obviously this is related to the play of Moreau, but I also don't know if he's all the way back from that, you know? So, you know, they're definitely not cutting him or anything, you know, after this season, I don't think. But as far as his role for the rest of the year, I think they're just kind of riding the hot hand right now with Moreau. But I don't think either one of them played all that well against the Jets.
All right. Question from Jason. Do you guys think getting Trent Brown back will be enough to get the running game going against the Colts, even if Jacobs is out again? Obviously, Vic, you're reporting that they expect to have both Brown and Jacobs back. But is Brown enough himself to make a difference in the run game?
I think so. I think, I mean, we've all talked about how he's clearly better than Sam Young and Brandon Parker. So I think just, you know, he's a dominant, like Derek says, a dominant guy both in the pass and the run game. So I think it's a big deal.
I think with Brown back, they get north and south against this Colts defense that's, they're a little smaller and quicker. They rely on athleticism, so they're hard to run outside with. But if you could move those guys up the middle, and obviously with Brown back, that, you know, the chance of that increases drastically for the Raiders.
All right, question here from Michael McNamara. It says, we often grade drafts after a year or two. Grade Mayock's first few free agent classes with the benefit of hindsight. So not grading the draft, but grading. If we were grading his first draft, I think we'd probably all give it an A. You know, and the second one is a little more incomplete. But his first two free agent classes, what are we giving those? Those are not going to be graded nearly as well.
Well, this year's has been terrible, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of who's actually worked out well this year in terms of
Aguilar and Booker.
Aguilar and Booker. All right, that's good. You guys are quick. Boom, boom.
So that gets him up to a D, maybe? D plus?
D, all right. And I'm trying to think of last year. I know everyone talks about LaMarcus Joyner not working out, but Richie worked out well. I mean, that was a good signing at the time. He was definitely in a big role last year. And wasn't there somebody else who brought in last year?
Was Tyrell Williams last year? Or was that year before?
Yeah, Tyrell Williams.
Trent Brown last year.
Right.
Oh, we forgot the worst one this year, obviously. Your boy, Mariota.
My boy. No one's asked Gruden about him being back as number two. Everyone wants me to ask.
That's you, man.
Question.
You're the Mariota beat writer.
I'm not going to give you guys a satisfaction. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to ask. But yeah, he's back at number two, so there you go.
Put in the media request for him now that he's like been on that active game day roster. You gotta talk to him. And if you did it, if you talked to him, I know you'd be wearing your Cal hat just to even rub it in even more.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I got a lot of Cal pride now. My football team, we're 1-3.
Got one win.
Lost to Stanford. I got a lot of pride. Yeah, I've been wearing my hat all around town.
Darren Covey asked, and I appreciate this question that he's asking. What does it look like after the season? He wants to know, what does Gunther's job security look like after this season? So he's not rushing to do anything right now, but after this season, that would be, you know, 3 years in, chance where they've gotten him some draft picks and gotten him some free agents that I don't know who you blame for them not working out, but do you think there's any chance that that Gruden, you know, makes a decision on Gunther after this season?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I think they were showing some signs of progress before his last two games. Obviously, that's gone out the window. But I think he has to see a strong finish from the defense this year. But I definitely think he's been unhappy at times with obviously the way they've played in defense. I think a lot of that goes on Gunther as well as the players. I think there's definitely blame to go on both sides. But I do think after 3 years, he'll look at the overall production, and he can't be totally or even remotely happy with the progress or even the stats. I'm sure are pretty ugly. So I think it'll definitely be a topic as far as Gunther's future in the offseason.
Yeah, I think if they miss the playoffs and the defense continues to do what it's been doing, I think we might probably have a new coordinator next year when it's out of the ball. Just my gut feeling, obviously. But I just don't see how they can stick with it given how good the offense has been this season despite missing all the pieces and having guys get COVID and everything like that. You know, obviously they don't have that level of talent on the defensive side of the ball, but with all the money that they've invested in the draft capital that they use, you know, I think all of us expected them to at least be average, maybe a little below average, but they've been bad again for, you know, a third straight season. You know, I think if they flame out here at the end of the year, you probably need to make that move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what happens if they lose some key games down the stretch and opponents are scoring, you know, over 35 points in those games? I mean, how could you justify bring Gunther back if that does happen? So yeah, we'll see. There's still some games left, but I agree. I think the defense has to show some improvement down this playoff stretch that they're trying to make.
It's all going to hinge on the question, like, did he misuse the parts he was given, or was he given some lemon parts in terms of the guys they signed in free agency? Was he given some guys who weren't really quite a great scheme fit and didn't play well for whatever reason? So I think in the end, Gruden will look at, okay, where was the problem? Was the problem in evaluating the guys we brought in and signed, or was the problem once we got these guys, we didn't use them correctly? So I think that will be, to me, the ultimate question that the John will have to answer at some point.
I think you want your defensive coordinator to be able to elevate the talent, even if you don't have a lot of talent. You want coaching to be able to kind of mask those inefficiencies, you know, kind of like what Raheem Morris is doing. Maybe that's an interesting name if he doesn't get the job in Atlanta, but those players just flame out. You don't see a lot of development from guys. So it's just been bad overall.
Ted, you spoiled the next question.
Oh, my bad.
From Steve7, listener from Germany here. Thank you for the show, and hey, thanks for listening from Germany. It says it's the best Raiders analysis every week. Question, if PG is gone after the season, except for Marinelli, what are some other options for DC? Gruden seems to look for people he used to work with in the past, and that's who I was going to mention. I mean, if Raheem Morris does not get the Falcons job, you wouldn't expect that he would stay there as an assistant under whomever they hire. And if he's not hired as a head coach elsewhere, I mean, that would seem like probably the most natural guy for Gruden to go back and grab Raheem Morris and bring him in if he's looking for a D coordinator.
I was going to say, Greg Williams is available. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
And Gruden always speaks highly. He always speaks highly of Greg Williams, too.
He does. So.
He really loves him this week.
Yeah. Anthony Lynn could be available. There's definitely a bunch of guys who could be available. So I think there should be a bunch of names that are somewhat attractive.
Maybe the Broncos coach, if he gets fired, Fangio.
You bring the Brink truck out for Vic Fangio if he's available.
All right. Well, it's prediction time, and the pressure is on now because we found out that there is a website out there that's tracking our predictions. They're giving us IQ scores and everything based on, they're not just tracking our winning percentages, which out of us, Deshaun is leading 75% win percentage. He's 9-3. I'm 8-4. Ted is 7-4 because they're going based off the printed predictions that we make, and Ted one of the weeks he forgot to submit his, and Vic is 6-6 with a low IQ score. So the pressure is on, guys. Raiders taking on the Colts. They are 2.5-point underdogs at home. We're not picking against the spread, of course, but what are you guys picking?
I think if with Vic, you know, obviously reported today that you know, if Abram, Brown, and Jacobs play, then I'm gonna go with the Raiders. I'm kind of going to hinge my bets, though. I mean, I got to see how the rest of the week plays out. If any of those guys are rolled out, I think I'm going to go with the Colts. But as it stands, going with Vic's report, and I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Raiders if Brown, Abram, and Jacobs play. I think the strength of this Colts team is their front four. And if Brown comes back, I think they'll be able to handle their front four adequately. And Carr has a big day. I think the ground game is not going to be explosive, but I think they're going to do enough to keep this offense on track and maybe convert some high leverage situations. Yeah, I just don't think Phillip Rivers has the arm to punish the secondary deep. So if those guys play, I'm going with the Raiders.
You're setting up Vic to be the bad guy. Come on, Vic, do it.
I'll go first. I've picked the Raiders. I'm looking at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 out of the last 7 games. So that's a lot of picking the Raiders. And if Deshaun is picking the Raiders, I need to make up ground on him. He's 9-3. I'm 8-4. So I am going with the Colts. I mean, the Raiders, they survived against the Jets, but let's be real. I mean, they the way they play it is nowhere near capable of beating a good team. They got to prove it to me again that they can come home and play well against the Colts. And I will take the Colts in this one. We'll go 31-28.
Well, I'm gonna try and wrap my low IQ around this pick. I think the way the season's gone, the only way that these next two games can go is they're gonna beat the Colts and lose to the Chargers. That's my prediction. I'm giving you a 2-week combo plate. I got him winning. Jimmy's score is pretty good. I had 30-27, so I'm right with Jimmy in the score. But I got 30-27. Raiders winning on Sunday.
All right. Well, we will see what our IQ scores look like after this one.
See, this whole IQ thing, I'm pissed, man, because this is all for entertainment. This is an entertainment podcast. I'm trying to pick to please people, go against you guys sometimes, having back and forth. I'm not actually, like, locked in, examining these picks and breaking them down scientifically. Man, my IQ has been questioned. It really hurts. hurt by the whole thing.
All right. Well, we will see how you feel on Sunday. If
plus was at 47%. What does that mean? Like, that seems really low. Also, that's a low number.
I think the picks, they weighted higher if you like correctly pick an upset, or I don't know. Tim Kawakami, out of all of us at the Athletic Bay Area that predict, he has the highest IQ score. So I'm sure all of you listeners out there will appreciate that. And hey, that's largely because he correctly predicted that upset over the Chiefs. So good for him. But all right, that'll wrap up this week's State of the Nation. We will be back, of course, on Sunday night after the Raiders take on the Indianapolis Colts.
Later.
Adios.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.